Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. We give God praise. We give God glory. We give God honor on this evening. We thank God for life, life eternal, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank God for one another on this prayer line, on this Bible study Word Wednesday, and we give praise and thanks for you as well. As we pray, we're believing that God is going to move in this time that we have together. We thank God for the teaching of His Word. We thank God for the edifying of our spirit, empowerment of our bodies in the name of Jesus. So as we pray, ask God's blessing upon our time together. I believe God's going to get the glory. Father, we thank you tonight. We give your name praise. There's none like you, God. We first and foremost thank you for the gift of salvation and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. For in John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whomever shall believe in him shall never perish, but shall have eternal life. In the book of Romans, it said, if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we are saved. So we thank you for, we thank you for salvation, Lord. Hallelujah. Everything else, it does matter, but it doesn't compare to heaven. It doesn't compare to eternal life with you. Glory to his name. It doesn't compare to our final destination, which is in glory. So, Lord, we thank you. Now, Lord, as we get into the Word of God tonight, may you edify our minds. May you strengthen that one who is discouraged on tonight. May you make a way where there is no way for that one who has come up against a brick wall, who have come up against a hopeless situation. God, I even thank you, hallelujah, for those who have been in your will, for those who have been walking circumspectly, that they will stay on the potter's wheel, that they will stay on the wall, that they will help those who are weak, and that they will help, God, those who you send for them to bless. So we thank you tonight, and we praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He does get the glory. That's why I say that so much. Jesus talked about glorifying the Father. The Father talked about glorifying the Son. All throughout the New Testament, the Apostle Paul speaks about the glory. We see in the Old Testament the glory of the Lord filled the temple. So when we talk about his glory, hallelujah, we are simply agreeing with the word of God that the glory of the Lord will be revealed. Amen. So when I say glory to God, he is going to get the glory out of your life, out of my life, from New Creation Church. Hallelujah. So we thank God for his glory and his goodness. Can we go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 5, the great apostle, disciple Peter wrote two books in the Bible, 1 and 2 Peter, and he says so much in these two, I'm not going to call them small books because they're powerful, but he didn't write as much as some of the other gospel writers, but Peter, what he said was so important. 1 Peter chapter 5, thank you, Lord. I'm not going to read all of it because the entire chapter is just powerful, but I just want to read from verse 5 to verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. We'll start there, and I think I'm going down to verse 10 or 11. Tonight we're talking about letting go and letting God, how we can let go and let God. We hear that a lot. You know, preachers use that, coin that phrase. But it's easier said than done, because especially if you're a person who's independent, you're a person that kind of, you know, made a way where you can find the natural support from others. If you're a person who see yourself as independent, not self-sufficient, because we're never that, sometimes it's hard to let go and let God. But sometimes he really does want us to take our hands off of certain situations, to really walk by faith and give that thing over to him. And that's why I want to start in 1 Peter chapter 5, because here's a beautiful a portrait, a beautiful picture of just what I'm talking about, letting go and letting God. It's kind of in a nutshell what Peter was saying in this fifth chapter. Listen to what he says. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 5, people of God says, likewise, in other words, he gives instructions, verse 1 to 4, that I'll talk a little bit about. Likewise, as you do those first four verses, you younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Thank you, Jesus. This verse right here really sums it up, letting go and letting God, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. Who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, we'll stop at verse 10. But the God of all grace, we need grace, but the God of all grace, who has called us into eternal glory, that's what I was just talking about, by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, we're going to go through some things, make you perfect, establish you, he's going to strengthen you, and he's going to settle you. Let's stop at verse number 11 because it sums it up. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In verse 1 to 4, Peter simply talks to the pastors, to the clergy, to the priests, to those who are the elders, those who are leaders of the church. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you. Don't do it for filthy lucre. Don't do it for gain of money. Don't do it for fame and fortune. But do it because God calls you to do it. And then he goes on to say, be examples to those you are leading. Be examples to those you are leading. That's your marriage. That's your ministry. That's how you handle your money. That's your reputation in public. That's your spiritual life. Do they see you praying? Do they see you going to church? Do they see you, you know, not living one way in the world and one way in the church, walking circumspectly, having a good reputation with the church and with the world? So he says, be an example, a physical example to those you are leading. And then he goes on to say, likewise, he speaks to the young people first. You young, submit to the older. And, you know, that blessed me every time I see that, because we're going to look at Jethro and Moses' interaction in a minute, because as I read this verse, as I was studying to prepare this lesson, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, there's a beautiful conversation that they have that shows Jethro, who is much older at Moses at the time, gives Moses some great advice and some great wisdom. And sometimes I thank God for my mother. She put so much in me. And I believe a lot of my character is from the days that I sat on her bed and the days she taught me about growing up in South Carolina, the days she taught me about the struggles and sometimes the Great Depression that she survived and some of the things that she went through as a young girl. And I realized that for me, when I was growing up, most of my friends, their parents were younger than my mother. My mother had me kind of in her older age, but she gave me so much wisdom from her experience growing up through Jim Crow, through racism, through hard times where things were not like they were today. And I take those lessons and I value them. She gave me a good work ethic. You notice I'm not talking about dad a lot because dad was not there. But mommy, I remember her taking me to her office and allowing me to play with toys while she cleaned up and worked jobs. And I remember getting a good work ethic from her. She gave me my working papers at age 13, and I've been working ever since. So I thank God for a good godly mother that gave me a good start. Amen. So when Peter says younger submit to the older, that means us older ones, although sometimes we think it's going in one ear and out the other, we believe sometimes that they just not listening, they're just not getting it. Sometimes we see our words are falling on deaf ears, but trust me, it is getting in. They are listening. Because guess what? Although I just talked about my mother giving me some great wisdom, I made some mistakes. Amen, somebody. So although she gave me some knowledge, gave me some wisdom, I had some good mentors along the way, Mr. Freeman, Mr. Hampton, some good men poured into my life as a young man who were older than me, and it kept me out of a lot of things. So I can agree with Peter here when he says, those of us who are older, teach your children and don't cease from teaching them. You mentors, you coaches, you people who have the opportunity to pour into this generation. And God knows they need godly counsel. They need godly wisdom. They need spiritual guidance. They need those of us who know the Lord to kind of pull them aside and pull them by the collar and say, listen, let me tell you about life. Amen. And that's what he's talking about here. And then he goes on to say, be subject one to another. Be subject one to another. That means that we got to be there for each other. We got to encourage each other. We got to pray for one another. Sometimes we got to help each other. Amen. And then verse 6 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's what we were saying last night on the prayer line. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people will call by my name, the first thing he says, the writer, is if they would humble themselves. The spirit of humility simply says, I need help. I can't do this. I don't have all the answers. Sometimes I don't have the strength. Sometimes I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the way to figure this out. I don't have the strategy to execute it. So I'm going to go. I feel God. I'm going to God to say, Lord, help me. That's what that father was saying with the demonic son. Help my unbelief, because I don't know how to get my son out of this trouble. And as a parent, as a husband, as a wife, as a Christian, come on, somebody, even as a Christian, if you're struggling with your Christian identity, you're struggling with your Christian walk, you want to go to church, you want to pray more, you want to know more about the Bible, you want to live holy, but it seems like it's a battle. Come on, somebody, go to God in prayer. You got to go to God in prayer. That's why I love last night. We pray for the church, and normally we do pray for the saints, but you got to pray for yourself and allow God to speak back to you. Allow God to show you that your prayers will be answered. Allow God to show you that you're praying to a God that can make a difference. Amen. I'm getting passionate about this because I'm excited about God. And because Peter said this in verse number 7, in verse number 6, if we humble ourselves, he say, in due season, in due time, God will exalt you. Yeah. Is there anybody looking for a greater life, a greater promotion, a greater income? Amen, somebody. A greater church. Just a better life. If you're in an apartment, if you're in a certain neighborhood, if you're in a certain job, the Christian mindset and the Christian posture and position is that greater is coming. Glory be to God. We have to have an expectancy. I love Tony Evans. You know, his wife is battling cancer, and he sent out a tweet to the saints to pray for his wife. You know, Tony Evans poured into me and Pastor Rebecca when we were new believers. We bought his books. We listened to him on the way to our church. We were listening to Tony Evans. We were listening to Tony Evans on the way to our church, and he was a great teacher of the word. I still watch him today. He's a great teacher of the word. And his wife is battling cancer, and he said that radiation and chemotherapy are no longer options, and right now his wife needs a miracle. But in his tweet, he says, I'm praying, and my prayers, our prayers as a family, he said these three things. The prayers are full of faith, number one. He says, and we're not praying with empty faith. We're praying with prayers that are full of faith. He said, we're praying with an expectation for God to do and give us a miracle. And then he finally said, we're praying in hope. So he's not giving up hope. He's full of faith, and he's expecting God to move on behalf of his wife. Amen, somebody. Amen. And we got to understand, this is why Pastor Rebecca and I, we're going to get back to the local church on Wednesday night, midweek service. But right now, as we do it through the phone, we thank God for those of you who come, those of you who partake, or you come and dine and get the word of God into your heart, get the word of God into your mind, get the word of God into your spirit, because he says when you allow this word, greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. When you get the word in you, he says in John 15, if you abide in me, if you remain in me, if you stay in me, stay connected to Jesus, stay locked in, stay connected to the cross. If you remain in me, and then he goes on to say, if my word abides in you, two conditions, stay connected to me, Christ, allow the word to come in you. He said, with those two things, you and I will bear much fruit. It's not going to be a little bit of something. It's going to be a lot of fruit. Your family is going to be fruitful. Your business is going to be fruitful. Your career is going to be fruitful. Your ministry is going to be fruitful. But Jesus said, apart from me, if you keep reading John 15, he says, but apart from me, you can do nothing. So this is why I've been trying to stay with him, not trying, I've been doing it, for the last 26 years of my life. I'm 56 years old right now. I got saved at age 30, and for the last 26 years, I've been with Jesus. Come on, people of God. And some of you have been with him for 1 year. Some of you have been with him for 5 years. Some of you have been with him for 40 years maybe. But whatever length of time you've been with Christ, if you're with him, stay with him. Because he said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I will always be with you. And I'm not going to stay a lot of time in verse number 8, but he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, roars around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm not giving the enemy a lot of my time tonight because he's already defeated. Amen. Sometimes we say the devil is busy and I'm going through, Pastor, and I'm not minimizing your situation. But sometimes we got to focus on Jesus. We got to put our mind heavenward. He says, focus on those things which are honest, those things which are true, those things which are lovely, those things which are of a good report, those things which are above. And when we put our mind there, the weight of what we're going through sometimes is not as heavy and weighty because now our mind is somewhere else. Amen. That's what the New Age people took. I'm going to say they stole it. They stole it from the Bible. The New Age folk, they call it positive thinking, meaning you're optimistic that no matter how negative it looks, it's going to be a positive outcome. But the Bible, oh, glory be to his name. The Bible says, and we know, that all things will work together for the good of us who love the Lord, who have been called according to his purpose. And the Bible tells us, even though we think, you know, it's going to be a good ending, the Bible tells us God determines the end at the beginning. So He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. So the fact that he knows everything, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful, and he's omnipresent. He's right here with us on this prayer line. He's somewhere in the Middle East. Glory be to God. He's somewhere over in China. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's up with the astronauts in outer space. He's omnipresent. Glory to his name. That's why Jesus said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, lo, I'll always be with you. I spent too much time in this verse that I wanted to spend, but finally right here, he says, after you have suffered a while, you suffered a little while, he's going to establish you, he's going to strengthen you, he's going to settle you. Amen. Go to, because I want to look at this younger, those of you who are younger, you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, you're in your 40s. Gain wisdom from somebody with some experience, somebody who has a testimony, somebody who's been through some things. That's why the Bible says a novice, 1 Timothy, a novice should not be the leader of the church. Somebody who's a baby in Christ should not be the leader of a flock. It should be somebody who's been experienced, somebody who has some kind of encounter. They say experience is the best teacher. But even the Bible says, a novice should not be one who is leading the flock of God. Exodus chapter number 18. This is beautiful here, what's going on with Moses. I'm talking about the great Moses. You know, God spoke to him through a burning bush. God said, I talked to Moses face to face. Moses, he led millions of people out of slavery. Out of slavery, out of bondage. He talked to Pharaoh. He spoke to Pharaoh face to face. Pharaohs back in that day thought they were gods. They thought they were gods. And Moses had the audacity to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And we're going to see right here, even the great Moses needed good counsel and needed advice because he didn't even have all the answers. And that's why Bible study is so important. This is why what you're doing tonight, coming to Bible study, pressing your way to church on Sunday, coming for prayer on Tuesday night, you know, your private meditation and devotions with your word of God, praying as a family, as you eat together, as you dine together, as you break bread together. You know, when our kids were little growing up, my wife did it more than I did. I got to repent. But she would say, who's going to say grace? And our kids, it would be Justin, Marcus, and Kayla. One or the other would have to say grace and bless the food. So we taught them, they didn't even know it, we were teaching them how to pray. Who's going to bless the food tonight? And they would bless all four of us sitting down together at the table, and we would say, you know, somebody say grace. And out of the three of them, they would rotate, they would say grace, they would bless the food, and at an early age, we tried to teach them how to pray to God and ask God to bless their food. And I pray that they all still doing it today. Amen. I said, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when they are old, they will not depart. Exodus 18, verse number 13. Exodus 18, verse number 13. Remember how we started in 1 Peter. It said, older teach the younger, younger submit to the older. And it came to pass, verse 13, on tomorrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sit thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee? From morning until the evening. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a matter or an issue, they come to me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Look at what verse 17 says. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. thou wilt surely wear away, both you and the people that is with you. For this thing is too heavy for you. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Amen. Jethro was saying, Moses, you're going to burn yourself out. This burden is too much for you. You want to be judge, jury, and everything for the people. And case after case after case, from morning to night, all these thousands and hundreds of people are coming to you for justice. He said, Moses, this is too much. You're going to get overwhelmed. Yes, you know the law. Yes, you know God. But you have to appoint some people to help you. Remember back when God told Moses to get 70 elders with your spirit that can help you lead? Jethro didn't know anything. Jethro's not, he's not one of the Israelites. He's not a Hebrew. But he still had enough wisdom to give Moses good advice. Amen. And that's what they were saying. Jethro was older than Moses. And he gave Moses some wisdom. And he said, the thing that you're doing is not good. And sometimes when we go to an older person, when we ask somebody for wisdom, ask somebody for knowledge, or run something by them, sometimes they've been through a similar situation. And say, you know what? It may not be exactly what you're going through, but let me share my experience in that particular matter. Let me share my experience. You know, I've been divorced before, and the fact that you're divorced, you're feeling like a failure. I lost a job before. I've been foreclosed on my house before. Whatever it is you're struggling with, you know, I was a teenage mother like you are. Whatever the issue is, sometimes you're talking to somebody who has an experience that can help you. Amen? To God be the glory. So let's look at, again, the lesson tonight, letting go and letting God. And even as I read about Jethro, that's my desire for New Creation Church. As, you know, people come, Pastor, what do you need? Pastor, how can I help my church? Pastor, you know, we need to assemble a team that we can make this church to be all it can be. Teamwork makes the dream work. You know, we want leaders. We want people to take certain roles, ushers and deacons and ministers. But you got to be trained up. You got to be raised up. You got to be taught the things of God. Get God a spirit of excellence. The church, every part supplying, every part doing its part, every member, amen, using their hands to help the work of the Lord. And that's what Pastor and I have a desire at New Creation, that people will begin to step up. And people would begin to be in position. People would begin to be accountable and responsible and reliable to the house and things of God, so that, you know, the burden won't be just on the leadership alone. The burden won't just be on Pastor and myself alone, but we will have a remnant, amen, that would do the work of the Lord. That's why he told Moses, no, this is too much for one person. And Pastor and I, yes, God called us. Yes, we have an anointing, but we're looking for laborers. We're looking for those that can help us do the work at New Creation Church. Amen, somebody. To God be the glory. We want to look right now. Here's a beautiful scripture in John chapter number 5, and then we're going to look at Psalm 40, because that's a beautiful illustration of how God has lifted some of us up. I like to get a testimony. I was on my mother's floor when I first started going to church. So guess what? Don't get much lower than that. Amen, somebody. It don't get much lower than the floor. And that's where my bed was in that season. But I began to go to church. And my mother said, church is going to help you. That's what my mother said. The first day I went to church, I didn't have no church clothes. I think I wore sneakers and jeans. But I said, I'm going to this church because my friend Sharon invited me to her church. And my mother said, church is going to help you. She was not lying before God. She was not lying, because church has helped me. Oh, who am I preaching to? Church has helped me. Pastor Rebecca and my wife just said, church has helped her. And somebody on this line said, amen, Pastor. The church has helped me also. Glory to God. The church has made a difference in my life. The church has been a blessing to me. So I thank God for the church. I praise God for the church. And I'm going to do everything in my power to keep the church alive, to keep the church doors open, to keep the church fiery, to keep the church impactful, to keep the church effective, to keep the church alive and well. And I know I got some amens with me. But John chapter 5, the church, Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. But he was insinuating, guess what, people of God? He was trying to tell you and I that the devil is going to come against the church. He just won't prevail against the church. But it doesn't mean that the enemy's not coming against the church. This is why we got to pray for the church. And God told me and Pastor Rebecca specifically yesterday, focus on praying for the ministry. Amen. And we put the spotlight on new creation. The focus was on new creation yesterday when we prayed. And yes, you know, we prayed for you. I remember, you know, we prayed a general prayer for everybody because that's just our heart. You know, people say sometimes they can preach. They think they're a pastor or they can be a pastor because they can preach. No, you have to have a shepherd's heart. You have to have a heart for souls. If you're called to be a pastor, you have to have a pastor's heart. And that's just me and my wife, our heart. We have a heart for the saints and the people of God. John chapter 5, verse 1. I'm talking about letting go and letting God. And here's an illustration of somebody being lifted up by Jesus. And that's what he does when we say let go and let God. He will lift you. Amen. He will. You know, and so sometimes we're like, we're trying to work it out, and we're trying to work three jobs, and we're trying to figure out the relationship, and we're trying to figure out how we can better parent our children, and we're just trying to figure out life on our own and our own merit. And Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus said, come to me and I will teach you how to live. I will teach you about life. John chapter 5, verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent people, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the movement of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Ah, God. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. My God, that's a long time. For 38 years, he was at this pool trying to get a miracle. When Jesus saw him, and he knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, will you be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another step down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise. Come on, somebody. Take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. He took up his bed and he walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Lord, help us tonight. Letting go and letting God. This man was trying to come up with a reason. This man was trying to come up with a logical answer. Every time I try to get in, you see I'm impotent. I can't walk. I'm an impotent man. I have no legs. I have no feet. I can't move as fast as the others. Every time the angel comes down to trouble the water, every time the water is producing for a miracle, somebody else get in before me, and they come out with a miracle. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad about Jesus? Aren't you glad he's no respecter of persons? Aren't you glad, hallelujah, that just because your neighbor got blessed, there's a blessing with your name on it still out there? Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if your neighbor got blessed first. God got a blessing with your name on it. It doesn't matter how many people got it before you. God, oh, I feel like preaching, but I'm going to teach. God has a blessing with your name on it in the mighty name of Jesus. It doesn't matter who got there first. You're going to catch up. You're going to overtake them. God's going to bless you. God's going to give you your miracle. God's going to give you your breakthrough. Just like this man at this pool, it wasn't about the water. It wasn't about the miracle. It was all about Jesus. Hallelujah. You got to let go and let God. Lord, I'm going to cast my care upon you. Lord, I'm going to give my family over to you. Lord, I'm going to give that issue over to you. Lord, I'm going to give that worry over to you. Who is God talking to on tonight? Lord, I can't carry it. I've been carrying this unforgiveness too long. I've been carrying this burden too long. I've been carrying this hatred in my heart too long. Oh, Lord, let go and let God. I need your help to release it. I need your help to let it go. I don't want to forgive, but your words say I must forgive. In the name of Jesus. If you're struggling with unforgiveness, if you're struggling with letting that offense go, if you're struggling with those that hurt you, and every time you think about it, the rage and the anger rise up, you need God to put new oil on you. You need God to put a new hand on you. You need God to cleanse and rinse your heart. You need God to give you a fresh anointing, because you can't do that in your own strength. I had some issues when I came into the things of God, and I thank God that he removed them. Amen. There are certain things that you and I can't do in our own strength. I grew up without a dad. I had an ex-wife. I had some people that disrespected me and dishonored me. I had some people that did not like me for whatever reason. And sometimes this is called life. You just got to move past that. Some of us get stuck. Some of us get burdened. We get weighted down, and the enemy tries to isolate us so we can focus in on what's wrong. And the enemy tries to isolate us so we can get into the community of the church that's going to help us. The enemy tries to separate us, and so our problems can be bigger than what they really are. And that's the strategic plan of the devil. He wants that thing to be a weight for you. He wants that relationship to be a weight. He wants those bills to become a weight and a burden. He wants the issues to just keep you down and keep you weighted. Oh, no, devil. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, glory to his name. Is the joy of the Lord still your strength? Don't let the devil take your joy. That's what he's after. When we have it hard, we can't praise God. We can't worship God. We can't just lift up holy hands and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I exalt you. Lord, I honor you. God, I reverence you. Lord, I need you. God, I love you. That's what the enemy tries to keep you from. That's when we get a well done. That's what God expects from Christians. That's what God wants from the saints. True worshipers that will worship me in spirit and in truth. He wants our heart. He's not going through the motions, but God wants us to worship him from our heart. He wants that thing to come from our heart. Just like I love my wife with all my heart, you know, and my actions be louder than my words, and I put a ring on it. That's right. Come on, y'all. I put a ring on it. A diamond ring is on Pastor Rebecca's finger because I love that woman, and I put a ring on it. Amen. And God is saying, marriage is my way. I still institute marriage. Marriage is the way to go. That is Bible. That is God. That is holiness. So we should thrive. That's why when my first marriage fell, you know, I didn't think I was going to get married again. But God, come on, somebody. God is a God of second chances. And we've been married 23 years now. We've been together over 25 years because God gave me a second chance at this thing. Amen. That's why it's called grace. So don't let the devil beat you up if you're in a bad relationship, if you had a bad relationship, if you had a failed marriage, if you are struggling right now in whatever it is you're struggling in, know that he's the God of grace and know that he's the God of a second chance. Amen. Since we're in John, I didn't want to go here. I wanted to go to Psalm number 40. But since we're in the book of John, I have another scripture in John I need us to look at because we're talking about letting go and letting God. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. This is Jesus. He's about to die for your sins and my sins. But this is all the preparation, and this is one of the accounts of what he went through. He knew what he came to the earth to do. He knew why he was sent into this world. And John chapter number 12 shows us that this is the very man side of Jesus. He was very man. He was a man with flesh, with emotions, with real things that we go through. That's why I said we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus, who was tempted just like we are. I'm talking about the man Jesus, not the God Jesus. He was fully man, and he was fully God. John chapter 12 says this, glory be to God. Verse number 23, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. John 12, 23, I hope you're, if you have the app on your phone or if you're in your Bible, listen to, you should either highlight this chapter or underline it with an ink pen or get a highlighter out and just go back to this periodically. You know, when I read this, I thought about the movie Harriet Tubman movie coming out this Friday. When I read this, I was reminded of her sacrifice and the sacrifice of what Jesus did. And some of us even sacrifice for others. And it's beautiful what he does here in John chapter 12, verse 23. And I'm also looking forward to seeing that movie, Harriet. John 12, 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn, some translations say seed, except a seed or corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone, or it remains alone. But, glory be to his name, but if it died, it brings forth much fruit. Man, I could just stay right there the rest of the night, but I'm going to keep reading. He that loves his life shall lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it until eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, is my soul troubled? And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard the voice, said it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. Verse 30 to 32, and we'll quit. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. They made a song from verse number 32. Are you hearing God tonight? This is a wonderful picture of the assignment that was completed by Jesus and a picture of his second coming, which you and I will be caught up with him, taken into glory, dwelling with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever and ever and ever. Because we are believers. We are Christians. He said to them, the reason you heard this voice is God was affirming who I am in the earth. He said, unless I die, I'm going to remain a single seed. But when I die, he was talking about his crucifixion on the cross, much fruit will be birthed. That's the 12 disciples. That's the 70 elders. That's the 12. That's the 24. That's you. That's me. That's our children. That's our great-grandchildren. That's the generations to follow us. He said, because I died, was buried, rose again on the third day with all power in my hand, many will now live because of my action. Amen. That's why the grave couldn't keep him. Because he said, if I don't do this, I'm going to remain a single seed. But if I do this, many will be birthed through this action. So people of God, we got to understand, when God requires more of us, it's always with other people in mind. That's why he wants us to tithe. That's why he wants us to go to church. That's why he wants us to be better Christians, to pray for this world in which we live. That's why he wants us to live a moral, holy, godly life. That's why God wants us to be set apart and to make a difference. I was at work today, and it gets a little racy. I work with in a building of over 300 people. And, you know, I hear the foul language every day. It's just the environment I work in. Yes, I'm a pastor. I'm a man of God. But guess what? That's my livelihood. That's my workplace. And I hear the curse words all day, every day. And we have a new gentleman that works with us. And he's going on and on, and I was not responding. And then out of nowhere, he just said, Tony, much respect. I'm so sorry. And everybody just roared out. Oh, now you want to respect him. Now you want to show respect. Because the guy was just off. And trust me, I was going to eventually put him in his place. But eventually, God dealt with him. That's why sometimes we do have to hold our peace and let the Lord fight our battles. Because he doesn't know me like that, like my other coworkers know me as a man of God. But now, for show enough, he respects me as a man of God. Because guess what? How I live, how I show my Jesus to my place, my workplace, it matters. And how you live in public, it does matter. It really does matter, people of God. You know, oh my God, I have so much more to share. But we're gonna close out because I want to get off that point. I'm gonna get on my final scripture. To God be the glory. I want to get on my final scripture, and because there's some things I want to look at right here. But I wanted to look at Haggai, which talks about God's church, because we gotta lift the church up. We gotta get back and lift the things of God up. Get back into the Bible, get back into the things of God, and let go and let God for real, for real. But Psalm 40, go to Psalm 40. We'll close out here tonight. One of my favorite Psalms, because this was my life years ago. You know, when God came, he lifted me up out of a horrible pit. And I can relate to this scripture. This is a Psalm of David. David was in some serious trouble. Saul was trying to kill him. His own children were trying to take his kingdom away from him. His own sons, David's own family, tried to rip the kingdom away from him. King Saul, who David loved, who he served faithfully, tried to kill him. And that's not talking about the Philistines and the Amalekites and all the enemies that David had to fight. And he says right here, David wrote this psalm, and it's a beautiful psalm. David says in Psalm 40, remember we're talking about letting go and letting God, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Verse 2 says this, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. And he put a new song, come on somebody, in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, that's what I was talking about, in fear, and shall trust in the Lord. I'm going to read a couple more verses, but I'm going to stop there for a second. People are looking at you, they're watching you. And from what they see, they will begin to believe in your God as God begins and continues to transform your life. Sometimes you don't have to say a word. Your friends are watching you. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend is watching you. Your husband, your wife is watching you. Your classmates and your coworkers are watching you. And sometimes, although it looks like it's not getting through, they're watching you go to church when your family's in trouble. They're watching you believe the word of God when you're going through an issue. They're watching you pray instead of panic. Watching you with the word of God on your table as you drink your coffee. They're watching you, amen, believe by faith and walking by faith. People are watching you. And they're going to put their trust in the God that you put your trust in. This is why we got to live this thing. Amen. David said, from my actions, he put a new song, a new praise in my mouth. I know who's after me. I know who's trying to wipe me out. The devil's trying to devour me, but God put a praise in my mouth anyway. Verse 4 says this, and I need to close out. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust. God don't want us to depend on people. God wants us to depend on him. He don't even want us to depend on ourselves. God wants us to depend on him. So he said, blessed is the man that make his Lord his trust, and respect not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. I'm going to stop at verse number 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts which are toward us. They cannot be reckoned unto the order unto thee. If I would dare declare and speak of them, they are more than I can count. They are more than I can number. Amen. I'm gonna just read. I'm not gonna expound on it. I'm not gonna explain it. I'm not gonna exegete it. I just need to read from verse 8 to verse 14, and because it all is self-explanatory, and I just need to get it in tonight. Verse 8. I delight to do thy will, oh my God. I finish your prayer tonight. You delight to do the will of the Lord. You take delight in obeying God. David said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, thy law is in my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou know. I have not hid my righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed it. I have not hidden it. Thy loving kindness. David was telling everybody about the goodness of God. And thy truth from the great congregation. This is why he wrote so much of the Psalms. Withhold not thy loving tender mercies from me, O Lord. And let not your loving kindness, your truth, continually preserve me. For innumerably, I can't even pronounce that word. For innumerably, in other words, there's a lot of evil. For a lot of evils have compassed me about. I just told y'all his son, King Saul, the Philistines, the Amalekites. David said, I got a lot of enemies upon me so that I am not able to look up. David just wanted to worship God, but he was on the run. They are more than the hairs on my head. That's how many enemies he had. Therefore, my heart fell me. David was scared. He was afraid. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. And let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish to do me evil. I told y'all it would speak for itself. I didn't have to explain that at all. David put his trust in God. And God wants you and I, if we're really going to let go and let God, to put our trust in him. Father, we thank you tonight. We're going to try our best from this day forward to let go and let you. God, there's some things that we can't handle. There's some things that are overwhelming to us. Sometimes it's our children. Sometimes it's our marriages. Sometimes it's a money issue. Sometimes it's the sickness in our bodies. But God, there's some things about life that tries to overwhelm us. And if we don't let God, let go and let God, God, it's going to be just too much of a burden for our lives. So help us tonight to really let it go and cast that care upon you. You can handle it, God, and we can't. So, Lord, we give our family to you. We give our marriages to you. We give our money problems over to you. We give our struggling Christian walks over to you, Lord. We need your help to live this Christian walk. We need your help to get to church on Sunday. We need your help to stay focused on the things of God. We need your help, Lord, to walk by faith and not by sight. So we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We will see you on Sunday at the church. Don't let nothing or don't let no one keep you from the house of prayer, the house of God. There is a word from the Lord. And Pastor and I would love to see you, love to hug you, love to talk to you, and we will see you on Sunday. Those of you who are not in this area, thank you for your offering, your seed. If you're feeling so led to sow into the ministry, we thank God for you. during this holiday season. We want to lift up the name of Jesus. And we thank God for 12 years of ministry. New Creation Church has been around for 12 years. That's a beautiful thing. Jesus said, unless I build the house, they that labor in vain. So even Pastor and I have learned to let go of the church and get that thing over to God. So even we practice what we preach. Sometimes, you know, the church, it tries to, you know, sometimes become a burden. But we like, Lord, this is your church. God, we hand this thing over to you. Show us what to do. Show us, God, how to handle certain situations. And God meets us every time. And we've been in existence for 12 years now. Amen. So we will see you on Sunday. Thank those of you that show so electronically to our Cash App, $NCCM Church. And those of you that give electronically through the website, or those of you who still send a check to the P.O. Box, however way you want to bless us, we thank you for it. Amen. Love you. Good night, everyone. God bless.